Grab your Bible under your chair. We're going to roll through tonight. We're going to open up to Ecclesiastes 12, which is where we're going to be for the evening. And this will be kind of the last prelude before we open this thing up next week. For those of you who weren't here last week, we typically don't have the room look like this. We've recently split middle school and high school. And so if it looks a little odd, it's because we made room on purpose for more people to get here. And the reason we feel like Ecclesiastes is so timely for us and why we want to get really kind of aggressive towards you understanding it is we feel like this book has the opportunity for us to reach more people and to present the gospel in a better way than any other book of the Bible we've done. And so we wanted you to kind of grasp, even visually tonight, which I said last week, we're going to put all the chairs out. This is all of these kind of chairs that we own. There's 150 of them exactly. That's kind of cool. And so that's kind of the scope of what we're looking at. And we really believe we got middle school students out of here because we feel like when it's high school students only, that's much more desirable than having a 12-year-old hanging in here also. So like boys who have girls' voices just doesn't make the best thing when, well, some of you ninth graders still have girl voices. But those things start to, I'll have a girl voice if my voice cracks. All right. Okay. So those things being true, we feel like, man, there's a high school across the street that's got 1,200 people at it. We shouldn't be competing for 150. You know what I'm saying? Like, we shouldn't be struggling for that. And so we want you to grasp this visually. And one of the things we ended with last week is we even wanted you to get in your mind people who are in need of the gospel and people who, in Ecclesiastes, as we walk through, that you could visualize them, even just being able to be in here, understand the scriptures, see God reveal that to them, speak his love and affection over them, and for them to respond to the gospel and then start to serve Christ. That's how we see that playing out, all right? And so we put the chairs out not to make it more awkward and go, God, it's empty in here. So if you're a guest, it's not normally the way. But for you to go, God, it's empty in here, we need to grow. Okay, so we're going to throw this quote up there. We shared it last week. Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick, and you may not have guessed it, but Ecclesiastes is mentioned in Moby Dick, and here's what it says. The truest of all men was the man of sorrows, that's Jesus. The truest of all books is Solomon's, and Ecclesiastes is the fine hammered steel of woe. All is vanity, exclamation, all. This willful world hath not got hold of unchristian Solomon's wisdom yet. And so even Herman Melville, if you know anything about Moby Dick, there's this guy named Ishmael, he hunts for a whale. And as he hunts for the whale, Moby Dick is a bunch of pages about how it's really hard to find one fish in a really big ocean. And so Ecclesiastes starts to spin itself out. And so here Ishmael is on the boat going, yeah, I think Ecclesiastes speaks to this, you know, hunt of a whale. All right, so go to Ecclesiastes 12. We're going to read that all. And then we're going to kind of unpack it verse by verse and start to roll through. All right, so this is page 475. You can open there in your Bible if you want to. If you don't own a Bible, you can take the one that you just opened up underneath your chair. All right, so we'll read it all, and then we'll walk through. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, and the days when the keeper of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors of the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads and like nails firmly fixed at the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And all of the students said, amen. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, we've got a bottom line at the bottom of your hand. And if you get nothing else from our evening together and my endless rambling and tires, endless playing, we want you to get this one little point. Is playing probably won't be endless tonight. But one day there will be no more days. That's the bottom line for today. One day there will be no more days. One day, there will be no more days. We'll give you a couple seconds, and then once you get that written down, we're going to pray together, and then we're going to get this. And I'm going to be done on time, and is going to rip on Worsh. It's a promise, Tyler. I'll bet you $100. Okay, so here we go. All right, let's pray together, and then let's roll. Jesus, we thank you for the scriptures. God, we thank you that, God, these words that are 3,000 years old still have great effect on us today. And so, God, we thank you that your word is timeless. God, we thank you that even tonight you're going to cut through all of the things that our heart would do to guard against you. God, all the ways that we try to place barriers from your spirit in your presence, but that, God, you have the ability to cut right through that. And so, God, I pray that more than my voice and more than this microphone, that, God, truly your words come out and, God, your heart is revealed and that, God, your love and affection is spoken to every student, every leader, and myself tonight. And that, Jesus, we'd fall deeply in love with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, now, Ecclesiastes for me, I said this last week, but Ecclesiastes has been really heavy on my heart honestly, for the year or so I've been studying it in order to get ready for this. But specifically the last 2 weeks, it's been really heavy because there's been a couple of things that I don't think God did them so that I'd preach better for the next 6 months. I think because Ecclesiastes is so settled into my soul that those things happened, and then I view those things through the lens of Ecclesiastes. And so last week we talked about how there was two students at Glendale who were killed in a plane crash. And some of the things that we shared about through Ecclesiastes in the beginning was one of the refrains in Ecclesiastes is someday we're all going to die. But the weight of someone in your high school dying probably isn't going to be terrible because you're a really close friend of theirs. It's going to be terrible because you realize for the first time that you'll die too. And that it may not be when you're 80, 90, or 100, but it may be a lot sooner than that. And the honest reality of just statistics is some of us will make it to 80 and some of us will not. Some of us are going to get married and have babies and some of us won't. Like, and even the reality that I am not guaranteed to see Jude graduate from high school despite the fact I really want to. And so the reality of death is something that Solomon is just going to be aggressive with, and he's not going to try to dance around it to make us feel good. He's going to just throw it out there and say, you're going to die. Let that settle in. And so there's parts of Ecclesiastes where it's really emo, that you're going to want to start wearing black, you're going to want to start listening to Dashboard Confessional, and you're going to have these moments where just pitiful love songs are going to be played and you just want to cry, right? There's going to be those things you're going to desire hugs more often when we go through this. The other side of it is you've never had someone be this true to you ever before. And so Solomon is just going to say, that's what it is. So that was last week. This week gets really aggressive for me is because on Monday, a house across the street from us burned down. Now you, if you've been around for a couple months, would say, you said that same exact thing 4 months ago. You are exactly right. 4 months ago, a house across the street burned down. Monday, a house across the street burned down, all right? So at my 1 o'clock, 4 months ago, two-story house burned down. Two people were killed in that fire. It was really terrible. Monday, at about 5:40 in the morning, where our son's room is, the window is right at the street and his monitor's right there. In both instances of the fire, Rachel and I are in our bedroom with the baby monitor on, and we just start hearing people screaming. If you've never been to my house, I do not live in the greatest portion of Springfield, Missouri. I live in what they like to call the ghetto. It's not very ghetto here. It's just lower income, and that's just the easiest way to go. So I live around Nickel Street, which don't nobody want to drive down Nickel Street. But that's kind of where I live at. And so about 5:40 in the morning, we hear people screaming. My first reaction is there's some moron on our street who's just yelling, and I'm going to go fight the drunk guy. That's my first reaction. It's just, I don't know how you wake up, but if it's 5:40 and I'm not supposed to wake up for another hour, I'm just angry. And the fruits of the Spirit don't come out then, all right? It's just, it's angry, it's okay. I'll fight a guy, go to sleep, and my real self is the one who wakes up from that. All right, so I go, dang it, there's somebody fighting. And so Rachel's like, unbelievable. And Rachel is out there. She does not wake up well. If you've been around me at a summer camp experience, I wake up way happier than you do. And I've got way more energy than you do. I'm chipper at 4. If I'm supposed to be up at 4, I'm chipper. I just wake up with a happy disposition. I'm jolly by nature, but sometimes I'm aggressive. Rachel kind of takes a little bit. Like, she has to get there. And so what Rachel needs is, like, she needs to smell coffee and drink coffee. She typically needs something to be in her stomach. Now that she's pregnant, she needs something in her stomach. If it's just saltine crackers, she needs that. And so she just needs a little bit to get there. And so when we first got married, I was like, hey, babe, what's up? And she's like, give me a bit. All right. So she was way more aggressive. If we owned guns, she would have discharged the firearm. All right. So I wake up and I walk to the door. We've got one of those little holes at the top that you can look out. And I look out and I see this house is on fire. And so I go, that house is on fire. So I go to grab my phone. I call 911. I say, the house is on fire. I'm going to throw my shorts on and my shoes because the house of the people that was on fire is this lady that we've known since we've lived there. It was a really bad relationship in the beginning. It started getting a lot better. The primary point was her son was one that he just doesn't have a guy in his life. And so my heart always goes to young men who don't have good males in their life. And so for him, I'm like, you got a bunch of moron guys coming around your house all the time. I just want to show you a dude who doesn't drink all the time, doesn't swear all the time, and doesn't use your mom. I just want to be a dude. And so we started playing baseball, and I was like, oh, this is so awesome. I'm teaching a kid to throw. Hit me. You just broke my car window. Let's keep it coming. Right? All of those good moments, you know, letting him ride a bike and seeing him ride into a light pole. Those are things that I look forward to someday with you. And so as those things start happening, my first thought is that kid is in that house still. And I'm going to go kick a door down, right? So I go get my shoes, I put my shorts on, throw my shoes on. The other way would have been awkward. So I do that. And as I go outside, I'm telling you, the back part of the house is on fire. By the time I call 911, put my shorts and my shoes on, the entire house is on fire. Fire's coming out of the windows. If anyone is in the house, they're not alive, right? So then I go out there and it's just this, oh my gosh, their house is on fire moment. And I've never seen a house burn down. Ever in my whole life, I've never seen a house fire. And this year I've seen 2 in 6 months. And so all of this Ecclesiastes stuff starts to go through my brain. And my first thought is, I hope everybody's alive. And then we see their family and we see everybody's out, everybody's alive, everything's good. And then for them, there's this sense of her name's Amy. By the time Rachel got out there and they saw each other, she just walked over to Rachel, gave Rachel this gigantic hug and just started weeping and said, Rachel, my house is gone. Like, just there. So here's where even Ecclesiastes starts to rest a little bit. When those moments start happening, I just started saying, if it were me, what would I do? Like, if my house is on fire, what matters? And so I just started running through the list. And honestly, the list is really short. Jude matters. Rachel matters. Everything else can burn. Everything else. Because after that, it's just stuff and it's just money. Everything, like, I cannot replace Rachel. I can't buy another her. I can't replace Jude. I can't buy another him. I can buy another iPhone 5. It's going to cost a lot of money if I'm in contract, but I can buy another one, right? I can do that, but there's no way I'm buying my spouse again. So I started playing through all this and I go, you just start to feel Ecclesiastes because the refrain of Solomon is, vanity of vanities, which means everything is meaningless. Because if it's all is going to burn and catch on fire, what matters? And I'll tell you, your clothes don't matter. Your technology doesn't matter. Even your pictures don't matter. All of that stuff can just go because you can get it back. But if you lose something you can't replace in a fire, or if you lose something you can't replace in life, that changes the game absolutely. And so what Solomon says is, you're gonna die. That's all of your life catching on fire. So when you die, you're not bringing your clothes. You're not bringing your money. You're not bringing your fame. You're not bringing your success. You're not bringing your popularity. You are not bringing jack with you when you exit this earth. And yet, you and I strive over a lot of stuff that we'll replace very quickly, or we don't care about if it burns. And you think, like, we played that video about the iPhone 5 on purpose because last weekend, people stayed the night in front of a store to wait in a line to purchase a product that within 6 months, it's going to be announced that it's being replaced. And then they're going to go, I'm going to go sleep in front of a store, wait overnight, by another one of those products that in 6 months is going to get replaced. And you can go down the list of anything. Your car is the worst investment of your life. Because the moment you start it and drive it off of the lot, it's worthless. And yet, when you turn 16, there is this sense of, I am the greatest human being that has ever graced the face of the earth. Why? Because I drive a Chevy Blazer, 91, 180,000 miles on it. It burns oil when I turn it on. It smokes gray if I push the gas a little too aggressively. But I've got power windows and subwoofers. Get at me, bro. That's the way it plays, right? And so we'll do that. You'll do that when you go to school and you bought fresh new clothes the week before and you show up day one at school wearing the best outfit you've purchased. Why? So you can walk in and people go, you look good. And you go, I know. Right? But then give that thing a month and you're already trying to find something else to purchase. Why? Because you washed it and it just isn't as bright as much as it used to be. Because Tide can't keep that. Right? Tide may keep your colors, but it's not keeping forever. And yet, name anything in your life and you'll strive after that and someday you're going to lose it. And so Ecclesiastes, we're going to get into the deep, dark place and Solomon is just going to say, everything you know is going to be lost. So why are you striving for it like you're going to keep it forever? And the honest truth, someday I'm dying or Rachel's dying. One of us is leaving before the other unless we both go at the same time. And if my hope is put in my wife, then that day is going to be the worst day of my entire life because I lived as if she couldn't be lost. But if I live my life knowing it is my great joy to be able to share my days with you, man, until death parts us, this is the greatest joy of my life is to be able to have you as a spouse. But I have greater joy and greater hope and greater affection stored up beyond you. And she doesn't get upset about that. Like, Rachel doesn't hear me say, I love Jesus more than you, and go, you need to leave Jesus, ew. Like, there's not that thing that she does, right? And so this is going to be good for you because it's just going to be a chance. Solomon is going to take everything that you pursue and just go throw that thing up like a clay pigeon, pull, and blow it up, all right? So let's blow up a couple things tonight. All right, let's throw verse 1. He says this, remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And so the first blank we've got up for you at the top is this. Remember while you still can. Remember while you still can. And this, man, after this, we're going to have so much fun. But remember while you still can. We're all going to get old and we're all going to have terrible memories someday. Right? Unless we die sooner, we're all going to become forgetful, right? If you get around old people, us as young people, because we remember well, we struggle with, how can you not remember what you had for breakfast? It was 3 hours ago, and you eat the same thing every day for breakfast, right? Like, there's just this, how is that possible? There's going to come a day where you and I aren't going to remember that day. And we're going to have those moments as old people that young people are going to look at us and go, you're so sweet. Oh, look at that sweetie right there. If we're like appealing in hologram by then, right? Because the Jetsons is 2062, right? We're 50 years away from that. So when you and I are supposed to be wicked old, we're flying cars with little circles that come out of the back. That's where life is going to be. So I don't know if we're going to be teleported around, but you and I are going to be really old and Judy's going to tell us how sweet we are. And that's going to be the life we live, right? If we make it there. And so what Ecclesiastes starts to say is remember what this whole thing encompasses while you have the ability to remember. Like, and this is why we went to the last chapter at the end, because this is where Ecclesiastes actually starts to put some brightness to the whole message, and it's only 4 verses at the end that are in any way bright, and everything else is just 6 months of you and I going to the dark place, and then me going, here's why it's not as bad as Solomon thinks it is. And that's going to be our 6 months together, but you need it. And so what this is, man, remember while you still can. And so while you have the ability to see ahead and recognize these things are coming, if you get your life that way, then you've framed all of your life to be better than my 10 years ahead of you that I'm at. if you're 18. But if you can get Ecclesiastes as a lens, then guess what? It changes the whole thing, right? It reframes everything. And so even in the sense of like, I love technology. Me and Kip are boys, right? I could sing about my joys of technology. And I'm kind of a geek that way. If something comes out new technologically, I want to have it then. Because I just like to tinker. I just like to see. I like to play. So even like Tyler and I, there's a lot of things we share in technology. And so I told Tyler, I was like, bro, you're running an operating system that's like two editions old. You need to get out of that. And he's like, I don't really need to get out of that. I'm like, Tyler, you got to get out of that. He's like, well, why do I got to get out of it? I was like, well, there's a couple little things like this. He's like, well, that doesn't mean that much to me. I'm like, really? It doesn't mean that much? Are you a moron? Like, what are you talking about? I can get text messages on my computer now. Can you? Like, there's those sort of tensions, right? So Tyler doesn't care. But when Ecclesiastes starts to frame it, I know Apple's going to release a new operating system next year. And they're running out of big cats. Like, they had Lion, it's the king of the cats. They've had Tiger, it's the cat that kills all other cats when it's on its own. Now it's a mountain lion. It's still aggressive. It is certainly no lion. So when you go from lion to mountain lion, I felt like it was a downgrade, right? So there's going to be like Apple OS X Puma, and we're going to upgrade, and it'll be sweet. There'll be something that caused you to go, nice, and you'll get it. iPhone 5 came out. I was due for an upgrade. I waited. Right? I waited. I was just like, I'm going to wait for that 5. I don't need a 4S because S just means the next one's coming. Right? And so I'm waiting for the new number. And I know in 2 years I'll be due for another upgrade and it's 6 time. All right? So I know that that plays. So when iPhone 5 came out, there's this sense of like, this is going to be fun. And I had mine ordered. It was going to take about 18 business days to get here. And I was like, that's okay. That's okay. But a buddy of mine, one in whom I have great love and affection, day of, called me and said, I have an iPhone for you waiting. And I was like, oh, snap! Like, I wanted to go that day, like, right when the doors open, and just was like, man, chumps, get out of the way. I got one waiting for me. Like, I wanted to do that. Didn't do it. So what I do, man, I'm out with my family. I'm out with Rachel. We're driving around, eating breakfast, having a good time. And my thought was, it can wait. Why? Because in 2 years, I'm not going to care. And honestly, no one cares about the iPhone 5 today. It honestly doesn't matter. It's not making news anymore. So someone may go like, who's that iPhone 5? What do you feel about that? Screen's bigger. Faster? Yeah. Siri smarter too. You know, I talk to a machine. That's awesome. There's going to be those sorts of things, right? But at the end of the day, I could drop that phone and it's 7.6 millimeters thick. It's going to lose every battle with the ground. Gravity kills the iPhone 5. Right? So it's all glass. I mean, it's going to explode and there just goes hundreds of dollars. And it's gone. It's gone. And I'm going to get like a 3GS for $50. I'm going to hate it. I'm going to go like, gosh, you push an app and you have to wait for like 2.5 seconds for it to open. There's those sorts of, because at the end, it's just not going to matter. But man, if you can get Ecclesiastes as a lens, then you can start to see, man, I love that iPhone 5. It's fun. I love going, boop, 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 boop. Siri, you can call me the greatest man alive. What's the sports score? You know, the Dolphins lost today, greatest man alive. Like those, that's fun. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because Siri is just a dumb machine. And I'm like going, my value is found in that Siri calls me the greatest man alive. This computer talks to me, right? Okay, so remember why you can. Now let's go verses 2-8. We're going to hit a bunch of these pretty aggressively. So we're going to read it all, and then we're going to go kind of line by line. You need to warm up your vocal cords because I'm going to ask you some questions. So he says, remember the creator of your days and your youth before the evil days come. And he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, and the days where the keeper of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors in the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low. They're afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. And so the next blink we've got for you before we start to walk through this a little bit is what is will be no more. You ever watch Ghostbusters 2? That line sounds familiar. Vigo said it. But what is will be no more? If you haven't watched Ghostbusters 2, do it. Netflix tonight. All right, what is will be no more? What is will be no more? And so I'll just say this as a 28-year-old man, and we'll walk through the verses. You're in the prime of your physical life right now. This is as good as it's going to get body-wise for you. And so you just need to even revel in this moment. Because even I was talking, they did a free pizza giveaway at Glendale today if you had something, some academic achievement. And so I saw people just crushing mounds of pizza, right? You got 3 slices of pizza. Okay, that is a gigantic portion, right? Now, some of you are like, that's a lame portion. I ate a whole thing. I ate a whole box, right? Okay, I know you're a bigger man than me. But 3 pieces is a lot to eat. So this girl walks by. She's got 3 pieces of pizza, a sub sandwich, and some hash browns, and a milk. I'm like, you're not eating that. There's no, you will not finish that. And she's like, I will. And I was like, I bet you won't. She's like, what are you going to pay me? And I was like, I don't have money. Do you take debit? And she was like, I'll take your debit. But I was like, we're not playing that. I was like, let's just call it a gentleman and a gentle lady's bet. I bet you don't finish all that. And she's like, okay. And so she walks away. She comes back and she's like, I finished it all but half of a sandwich. I was like, that's not at all. Right? I ran half of a marathon. I didn't run a full one. I never ran a half marathon. But you get the idea, right? I ran half of my driveway. I ran the whole driveway. No, right? So that's there. Your metabolism is going to slow down, but you'll still be able to eat a whole pizza. You'll just still notice it the next day. You're going to go like, man, I ate a whole pizza and I didn't even notice that body weight. Pah! And there's going to come a day where you eat a whole pizza and you're like, I put on 7 pounds last night. What in the world? Right? And so, and even this, I played basketball last night. I played from 8 to 10. I used to be able to run for days. I used to just run around like I was a racehorse. Just running around, having a good time, breathing oxygen. Life was great. It don't work that way anymore. No. I used to be able to play 100% every play. Don't happen anymore. I pick the plays where I'm going to go hard. And every other play, I'll just kind of be like, he's not running, I'm not running. And bump this, okay? So now, I used to be able to just start running, right? Like, if you wanted to talk trash and get into a foot race, I'd run. Let's sprint. I'm going to beat you. Now, if I start running, I'm going to stretch before, right? And I'll do Michael Phelps stretches in my arms to run, right? And then I'll run. We'll race. You'll beat me. I don't care. And then I'm going to stretch afterwards. Why? Because when I play basketball, if I don't stretch before, during, and after, I'm going to wake up with cramping in my legs. I didn't stretch after basketball last night. I took a hot shower, went to bed. I woke up and I could feel pain in my thighs. That's the way it is. Now you may be like, ugh, like you're so out of shape. Go to the gym every once in a while, Justin. I'm just telling you, it's getting there. It's getting there for you, all right? You'll be there. So now what Solomon starts to do is if you didn't catch 2 to 8, he's painting word pictures. So he's describing all his vanity. Remember God in your youth because evil days are coming when you say, I have no pleasure. If you've ever met an old person who just says, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm okay, I can go right now. There's that part of us that's like, what are you talking about? You're ready to go. Like, that's it. You can't go and come back, right? This isn't heaven is for real. If you go, you're gone. And you'll see people that's like, I'm okay, I'm out. And so that's the day in which you have no pleasure in them. You're ready to go. And so he says, remember before that day comes. So he starts to paint pictures of what is. So we're going to throw verse 2, and then we're just going to throw a bunch of portions up there. All right, so here's how we break down. All right, so he says, remember before the evil days come. And the first thing he brings up, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. And so the first thing that goes when you start to get older is mental ability. You just aren't as sharp as you used to be. And there are those moments where you're walking around your house and you're like, what was I looking for? Like, and you just start to feel, but there used to be days where you're like, man, I'm just sharp. I knew. I was, right? And even geniuses have those moments where they go, man, what was I thinking about right then? Crud, I lost it. Okay, so mental ability is going to break down. That's one of the first things that you're going to see go. The next thing we got, the first part of verse 3 says, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent. And so the word picture that Solomon paints there is that legs and arms start to weaken. I just shared about that, right? But there'll be days where you're not asking a 50-year-old to help you lift something. You're like, nah, I need that 20-year-old, right? And even now, I'm not picked to lift things as often as I used to be. Right? There's stronger men that are available. There's young bucks whose backs aren't going to get thrown out. Right? And I used to not lift with my legs. I used to just like throw 36-inch televisions. Right? And that's back in the day before they were flat screen, when they were Jumbotron. And so that thing weighed like a hundo. And so I'd grab that thing with my arms because I got a wingspan. And so I just grab that thing and the poof. And so these soldiers would come in buying this television, and I'm 17, and you've got these army guys who are like special ops. And I'm like, you want to watch me lift this television? What do you drive? Dodge Ram, lift it, open the gate. And so I grab that thing, lock, and throw it up, and I'm just, bam. And they're like, man, way to go, young man. I'm like, I know, right? If that happens right now, I'm team lifting. I'm like, no. So Tyler and I yesterday had to lift these cabinets, and they were like a hundo, right? 100 pounds isn't a lot. But Tyler and I were not deadlifting that mess by ourselves. No, you weren't. Come on. So that's a lie, okay? So we both were like, we're carrying it, right? And both of us are sharing a load, and we're like, hold up, we need to put this down and redo this because we're not balancing the weight well. That's true. Tyler said that. That came out of his mouth, right? So there's those days where legs and arms just start to grow weak. The second part of verse 3 says, and the grinders cease because they're few. If you have little children, one of the first things they do when they discover they have a mouthful of teeth is grind them. And it's the craziest thing because you're like, it's like nails on a chalkboard, but then you're like, you're going to break one. Stop it. And so what happens when you get old? Your teeth stop working or they fall out. Right? Is that not a lie? I mean, Solomon's just telling you like it is. We're either going to get dentures or we won't have teeth. You and I are eating Smoothie King and mashed potatoes all day, or we got fakies, right? That we're going to and lay in a like a thing of slime next to our bed, of which if Rachel and I make it there, right? One of the ending procedures of our day is, right? So there's going to come a point at which something's going to be said about that as old people, it's just going to ring true for you, all right? So the teeth are going to stop working or they're going to fall out. The end of 3 and 4 says this, and those who look through windows are dimmed and the doors in the street are shut. So if things start to close and it gets dark, what's happening? Your eyesight's failing, right? So I got 20/10 right now. I can zoom in like a hawk. I'm kidding. I can't do that. Some of you were like, dang. No, I can't zoom. But for, you know, every 10 feet, I can see 20 feet and you can only see 10. So if we are losing in a battle between what's approaching us, I win. I start running before you do. Right? So there's going to come a day where I'm going to need glasses. I don't even know what that feels like. Like I've never had frames wrap my ears. But there's probably going to come a day in which I'm going to do that, or I'm going to get a laser to cut my eyes up. I was like, because I don't know if I'm doing the glasses thing. Because I had a friend of mine who rocked glasses, and that dude was blind. If he didn't have his glasses on, he couldn't see his hand in front of his face. I don't want to get there. Cut me up with a laser. Right? But your eyesight is going to start to fail. So there you go. And the one rises up at the sound of the bird. That's the part of 4. And you start to wake up earlier when you get old. Right? And here's what happens. My day starts at 6:30. And somebody's like, that sucks. Or that, you know, you just start to feel that if you sleep until 9, you start to feel like, I am such a waste of skin. Why am I doing this to the planet? But right now you could sleep until 3 and go, that was awesome. I missed 2 meals. Like you feel so awesome about it, right? Like you just feel like, oh man, what time is it right now? 5:30? I am a genius. Like how did I sleep 15 hours? I'm so cool. There'll come a day where you cannot sleep. You just wake up early. And it says this, and the daughters of the song are brought low, which means our hearing's going too. So what happens when you get around old people? There's some old people that have the hearing aids in, and you can hear that mug ringing when you get next to them. And if they take it out, you're standing right here, and you have got a scream to be heard, right? And what happens when you get around an old person whose hearing's not well? Hey, Grandpa, you want some mac and cheese? Huh? Right? But you're going, how does Grandpa not hear this? Like, there's just that thing that starts to happen, but you find that anytime someone can't hear, you just start to get berating. You talk to them like they're a 2-year-old. How was your day, Grandpa? Is it good? Oh, sweet grandpa. I became like, what's her name from Finding Nemo? Dory. That's what. So they're just because all of us become Dory with people who can't hear, right? But all of us, our hearing is going. That they're afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. So one of the, as we keep going on the list, when you get old, you start to get scared about stuff. Right? So old people, what happens? They are out way before you are. They eat breakfast before you do. And they drive their car back to their house before you. Why? Because they don't want to be on the road with you. You drive like a maniac. So they would rather sit at their house and watch Maury, you know, or Matlock or something, rather than to be out driving with you. And so there's that, man, you and I, we're going to be watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So you can hate on Matlock all you want to, but my generation, I'm going to be at home watching Fresh Prince when I'm 90. And it's going to be legit. And I'll go out and have my one egg breakfast with toast and tea, and I'll be back because there's going to be hooligans running the street. But you start to get scared of some stuff. Old people drive slow. Why? Because they're scared that they're going to miss a red light, right? Or that they're going to go beyond the speed limit and the car's just going to run away from them. They remember when cars traveled at the speed of horses. And now we travel at the speed of hundreds of horses. So there's that. Verse 5 in the portion of it says that the almond tree blossoms. If you've ever seen an almond tree, it starts to change colors into white and then it starts to blow away. And so if you haven't realized it yet, our hair is going to weaken or it's going to fall out. So you got one of two things genetically in your family. You're going to bald or you're going to gray. None of us are keeping this till we're old. Right? And so even my buddy, Pastor Josh, right? And I'll throw this out there. Pastor Josh is getting a couple gray flecks in the beard. You notice that. Tyler works for him. He knows. He's starting to get a little. So what happens? And that's the beginning sign. So why do guys start to use that little comb? Because they don't want you to know they're graying out, right? And it used to be like salt and pepper was suave because of George Clooney, but most dudes are ducking that. They're trying to keep. So you can tell, like even Rachel will watch SportsCenter with me in the morning, and there's a guy on SportsCenter whose hair is ridiculously dark and his beard is a different shade. That ain't natural, but Oak Express is. And so those things start to play, and so our hair is going to get weak, and if you've chemically treated your hair, I don't know, man. If you're doing that for decades, how is that going to go when we're 80? You may just fall out and be a bald lady. Your hair, I don't know, man. If you're doing that for decades, how is that going to go when we're 80? You may just fall out and be a bald lady. I don't know. Then you're going to get a wig. All right, so there's going to be a couple of those. The next part is that the grasshopper drags itself along. And here's something that's real indicative. Grasshoppers bounce about all the time, right? Grasshoppers are just cruising. They're just always bouncing, always fluttering, always flying. So you may be bright and uppity right now, but there's going to come a day where a walker will be required. And if you stay around long enough, you're going to boot, scoot, and boogie at 2 miles an hour. So walking's going to take longer, and it's going to be harder. And even we were with Rachel's grandpa. We took him to Hemingway's. He's just kind of a good country man. He goes by Pa. I mean, he's just sweet. Pa Jones, right? And he's that guy. But when we were at Hemingway's, another lady got up who had a cane, and he's walking with a cane. And he's like, I'll trade you. Right, because canes become a commodity when you got to use them. So it's like, hey, you got the cane 9000? I got the 8. I'm writing an upgrade. You know, there's that sense of it, right? But so you and I are going to get to the spot where the coolest thing in our life is the cane. And he said, man, this was my grandpa's cane. And this is my cane now, right? There's that sense of, yeah. So, man, I will walk that cane hard. Probably not. I'm going to shimmer along. Okay, so another part of verse 5 is that desire fails. Someday, you and I will not want to have sex. I don't know about that reaction. That wasn't the one I was expecting. But our sexual desire will cease, right? So fellas, you're in your prime. Ladies, you'll be in your prime when you're about 30. But then someday, neither of us want to. Why? Because you're pulling your teeth out of your mouth and laying them beside the bed. Like, no one's going to be like, hey, what's up? You want to get with her? It's like, no. It's not going to happen. And I'll just say, anytime sex comes up in here, you're always going to hear me say this. Every movie and television you watch is an absolute lie. You're being lied to about sex, and it's going to cause you to have a very gross understanding of what sex is. And when you get into it, you're going to be disappointed if you don't get somebody in your life who can speak reality to you. And the reality is, you're not going to have sex every day. The reality is it's not like the notebook every time. It's not going to start raining and you're going to be like, here it is. This is the moment, right? Because I'm going to have to take these clothes to the washing machine and I'm going to have to wash these up and dry them. But no, it's cool right now. Throw the clothes off. Yeah. No, there's no one's going to wake up in the morning and go, I just need some sustenance. That bourgeois doesn't happen. And there'll come a day where we're just like, man, I'm too old for this mess, right? Woman, right? And so that'll go. The next one is that because man's going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets, one of the things you notice about old people is that one of the hard things for them is when their older friends start to die. And that's a difference between when teenagers die and when old people die, because when old people die and you're old, you start to go, whoo. Man, it didn't come for me when I was a teenager. It didn't come for me when I was 30s, 40s, 50s. I can't stop it, and it's coming quicker than I think it is. And so there's that sense for old people, man, when the Eagles Club is full, then all of a sudden, it just starts to get less and less full. And that's the reality of older people, man. For the people who live to be in their hundreds, they don't have any friends anymore. They just have family members who are like, here's 100 candles on your cake. Yay, grandma. Right? But you think grandma's like, man, this is joy to my life because I'm 101. Everyone I know isn't here anymore. Right? And so there's the reality of why are mourners going about the streets? Because if you didn't have it when you were young and you lived, you were old, now you're going to start seeing your old friends die of natural causes. And then verse 6 is that before the silver cord is snapped, golden bowls broken, pitchers shattered at the fountain, or the wheels broken at the cistern. And so we kind of combine these together and it just says that our back, head, heart, and blood circulation are going to start to grow weak. So one of the things you notice about old people is that their blood just doesn't move as quick as it used to. And so you'll start to see more blood clotting. You'll start to see more issues that are related to blood. You'll start to see back problems. One of the things that happens with a lot of people when they get old is they just fall and they've broken a major part of their body. My mom's mom broke her hip 3 times. And if you or I took that fall, we just would have gone, oh, weak. All right, let's go. But she falls, man, broken, has to go to the hospital and recover. Broken has to go to the hospital and recover. Broken has to go to the hospital and recover. And they typically say, man, if you're old and you break your hip, that's the beginning of the end. That's just the way it goes because your bones can't keep up with it anymore. And so your bones are really soft right now. That's why you jump off of a roof and you just go, oh, man, that hurt bad. If I jump off a roof, I'm breaking something because they just start to get brittler. And then eventually you miss a step and it's gone. So your back, head, heart, and blood are all going to start to go. And then verse 7 says this, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And so we just put at the end that from dust we're born and dust we're going to return. So we're all going to get back to, regardless of what you got in the planet, you're getting back to how you came, naked. So Jude came into this world naked. He wasn't rocking Chucks, wasn't rocking a sweet, cool, dresses like a man shirt. He was a naked baby, crying a lot, could barely hold his eyes open. That's how he came. And when he dies, he's going to barely be able to hold his eyes open. He's probably going to be pretty darn close to naked. And if he doesn't get there, when he dies, he's going to go to somebody who's going to make him naked. And that's how we're all going to go. And so you start to say, well, man, this is so encouraging, and I'm really glad I brought my friend to this. Now, I'm going to make it even worse. All right, so here it goes. How did Steve Jobs' intelligence do in stopping death for him? It didn't. How did Marilyn Monroe's beauty do in stopping death? How did Sam Walton's wealth do in stopping death? If you don't know who Sam Walton is, he invented Walmart. And here's all the deal about Sam Walton. He was alone the richest man in the world. When he died, he gave it to his 4 children. All 4 of them are in the top 5 of wealthiest people in the world. Dang. Sammy Dubb had some money. Didn't stop dying. How did Julius Caesar's success do in stopping death? Didn't. Because of a chump named Brutus. And then how did Michael Jackson's popularity do in stopping death? Didn't. He died. And so when you and I, man, we can start to go through any of that. Intelligence, wealth, success, popularity, fame. These are the things that we pursue. And yet it will not stop death when it comes. You can't buy your life. And so Steve Jobs had a ton of money, right? Ton of success. Ton of fame, ton of popularity, had the best doctors at his disposal, and they could not stop him from dying. And that's the reality of it. He couldn't buy life back when it started leaving him. And that's the reality of where we are. And so Solomon has this moment where he just goes, verse 8, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity, which just means imagine meaningless exponentialized. And so he says, if all of those things by which we pursue, if it can't stop death from coming from us and we can't take it with us, then everything we know and what we pursue is meaningless. Because you'll get it and it won't stop what you're thinking, because we're all going to get old or we're all going to die. Either young or old, it's coming. And you may be able to stop whatever you're thinking you can slow down, right? So Joan Rivers thinks she can slow down her beauty going away. But what happens, man, you can only modify that mess so much before you're not even beautiful anymore. She can't move her forehead, right? She has no expression. Her lips don't move. Right, but what is Joan Rivers doing? She recognizes beauty's fading, and she's trying to swat at it with money. And she can't wrestle an injection anymore to stop it. It's just there, right? And that's going to be the way it goes. And so my wife follows that way more than I do. I honestly don't keep up with that, but she does. And so she'll be like, Justin, check this. Like, man, look at it. Her nose is just funky, right? Like, dang, she paid 20 grand for that? But you'll find people will spend tons of money to stop old age from happening, because we treat old age like it's a curse, right? America treats old age like it's something to flee from. But if you look at every other culture in the world, they love old people, right? You keep a grandma around, she gets a special chair, she eats first, she can tell you to do whatever. And if you mess with grandma, everybody else in the family fights you, right? But what happens with us as old people, right? When somebody starts to get old, we're like, you cannot live on your own. You better not be driving, Grandma. We're moving you to a home. And there's going to be people who take care of you every day. You can't even go to the bathroom anymore. Right? That's how it goes. But if that happened in any other culture, your brother would punch you in the face. Like, hey, Grandma, we're going to move you out of the house. You're knocked out and you didn't even know. Because that's just, we treat it like it's a disease and something you got to flee from. Whereas what Solomon says is, man, there's, and even the scriptures would say, there's great wealth, there's great wisdom, there's great stature in getting old. It's good to get old. But you're going to get old and you're going to die. So stop trying to run away from it like it's not coming for you. And stop trying to spend money to keep it from happening when you can't spend money to get you back to where you were when you were 17. I can't buy metabolism. It ain't going to be there. So I just got to recognize. And I'm either going to the gym more or I'm changing my diet. And I can tell you what, and you know, I'm not going to the gym more. So I changed my diet. All right, so here's verses 9 to 12. All right, we'll read this and then Tyler's going to get up here and rip. So he says, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so the next to last blank we've got for you is do what you've heard. Do what you've heard. Do what you heard. You heard me? All right, so here's what happens. You're either going to say, okay, I recognize that to be true, and I'm going to listen to it, or you're going to say, that's not true. I'm the lone exception in all of history for whom that's not going to be the case, and so I'm just going to go prove that it's not true on my own. And so you're just going to go, nah, it's not me. I know that happened to Solomon and every other person in the world, but me, I'm special. But what ends up happening is we don't need to hear something 17 times. Honestly, we just got to hear what we've heard. And if you've spent the majority of your life loving Jesus, right, like you grew up in this game, I would say, honestly, you probably don't need to hear another sermon in your life. You probably just need to start doing all the sermons you've heard. You don't need me to, like, I don't need to come up here and say, you've never read this before in your entire life. Watch this. I'm intelligent. Right? Because it's not like this deep stuff that really is difficult. It's just the blatant, honest, easy that's hard. Love your neighbor. How we doing? I mean, that's the easiest sermon in the whole world. Love your neighbor. And we're all terrible at it. So we probably don't need to hear another sermon about loving our neighbor and here's how you love. And honestly, Jesus could come to us and say, hey, one shot, love your neighbor. See ya. And we don't need to hear another sermon again in our lives. Love your neighbor. So, man, I would just say, do what you've heard. And Solomon's refrain keeps coming back to, are we really going to see the ultimate worth of things? Are we really going to live like everything we know is going to burn? And are we really going to live like the clock is going closer to zero now than it was when we got in here? Like, the sobering reality is you and I are all closer to death than when this day started. And our clock is not getting time added onto it, no matter how much spinach you eat. You can eat all the spinach in the world and you can still get hit by a bus. Right? That was the healthiest person I ever knew. All he did was drink green tea. See ya. So are you going to live with those things in mind? And that's why Solomon keeps coming back to remember God in your youth. Like, while you have this moment, while this time is yours, man, remember Jesus. Remember what he's done. Remember how he saved. Remember how he's delivered. Stop wasting your time on useless junk that you already know is useless junk, that you're trying to prove isn't useless, only to find that it in fact is useless. Stop wasting yourself on stuff that doesn't matter when you graduate, like everything that goes on in high school. Stop wasting your soul on those things and start really giving yourself to, if it was called of you today, it'd be all right. And we're going to finish with these last two verses, and then Tyler and the band are going to come up here and get it. And it's this: the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And the last blank we've got for you tonight is this: all will stand. All will stand. All will stand. And it's at that point that Tyler's going to come up here and the band's going to get ready to go. And so here's where this comes really strong for us. Every thought, every motive, every desire, every implication, everything that you think is going to be out and before Jesus someday. So the idea that any part of your life is secret is the greatest deception you've believed. You have no secrets, even if not a person in the world knows. And there's going to come a day where you stand before Christ and all of it's going to go out before him. And it just says that we're all going to be judged according to all of those things. And what a lot of Christian people like to do is say, well, I'm not going to be judged by Jesus because I love Jesus. But even the scriptures would say that we're going to stand before Jesus as followers and he's going to judge every one of us. He's going to say, how are you as a husband? How are you as a wife? How are you as a father? How are you as a mother? How are you amongst your city? How are you amongst your friends? Did you do the things I asked of you? Did you share the gospel? Did you reach the lost? Did you go into all the worlds and make disciples? Did you love the poor? Did you spend yourself on behalf of the poor? Did you do the, and then we're going to get before him and we're going to go, but, and there's going to be moments where they'll, and I think one of the authors said that tears are going to be shed in heaven, not because of all the things that we get there and go, oh, I wish I would have got this, and I would have got this, and I would have got this. No one dies saying, man, I just wish I would have bought another cell phone. I just wish. No, man, everybody says, I wish. Man, I wish. Ask any leader in this room, they say, man, I wish I would have lived for Christ when I was in high school. Man, I wish I would have taken the gospel more seriously. I wish I would have been able to speak Christ to my friends, because now we're worlds apart and all we got is Facebook. And I'm not going to be able to get it in there. Man, I wish I would have taken truthfully, man, the words of the scriptures. I wish I would have prayed for more sick people to get healed. I wish I would have prayed for more demons to be exercised for people. Man, I wish I would have prayed for more people in wheelchairs to get up and walk. Because you're never going to find that you just said, man, I just love Jesus too much. Man, I was just too bold for Jesus. I asked way too much of the God who formed the universe. Hey, that's just completely unreasonable. So all of us are going to stand before him and we're going to get the well done, good and faithful, or we're going to get the, man, you should have taken me seriously. You should have remembered me in your youth. You should have stuck to the things that you were told me. You should have done what was asked of you, because a world of potential was before you and you spent it on trinkets and toys when you could have been spending it on eternal glory. So you're going to stand at your feet tonight and we're going to pray together, and then Tyler's going to lead us in some worship.